Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, Supreme Court of the United States, January 21st, 2010. Justice Kennedy delivered the opinion of the court. Federal law prohibits corporations and unions from using their general treasury funds to make independent expenditures for speech defined as an electioneering communication or for speech expressly advocating the election or defeat of a candidate, 2 U.S. Code, Section 441B. Limits on electioneering communications were upheld in McConnell versus Federal Election Commission 2003. The holding of McConnell rested to a large extent on an earlier case, Austin versus Michigan Chamber of Commerce, 1990. Austin had held that political speech may be banned based on the speaker's corporate identity. In this case, we are asked to reconsider Austin and, in effect, McConnell. It has been noted that Austin was a significant departure from ancient First Amendment principles. We agree with that conclusion and hold that stare decisis does not compel the continued acceptance of Austin. The government may regulate corporate political speech through disclaimer and disclosure requirements, but it may not suppress that speech altogether. We turn to the case now before us. Part 1, Section A. Citizens United is a nonprofit corporation. It brought this action in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. A three-judge court later convened to hear the cause. The resulting judgment gave rise to this appeal. Citizens United has an annual budget of about $12 million. Most of its funds are from donations by individuals, but in addition, it accepts a small portion of its funds from for-profit corporations. In January 2008, Citizens United released a film entitled Hillary, the Movie. We refer to the film as Hillary. It is a 90-minute documentary about then-Senator Hillary Clinton, who was a candidate in the Democratic Party's 2008 presidential primary elections. Hillary mentions Senator Clinton by name and depicts interviews with political commentators and other persons, most of them quite critical of Senator Clinton. Hillary was released in theaters and on DVD, but Citizens United wanted to increase distribution by making it available through video on demand. Video on demand allows digital cable subscribers to select programming from various menus, including movies, television shows, sports, news, and music. The viewer can watch the program at any time and can elect to rewind or pause the program. In December 2007, the cable company offered for a payment of $1.2 million to make Hillary available on a video-on-demand channel called Elections 08. Some video-on-demand services require viewers to pay a small fee to view a selected program, but here the proposal was to make Hillary available to viewers free of charge. To implement the proposal, Citizens United was prepared to pay for the video-on-demand, and to promote the film, it produced two 10-second ads and one 30-second ad for Hillary. Each ad includes a short and, in our view, pejorative statement about Senator Clinton, followed by the name of the movie and the movie's website address. Citizens United desired to promote the video-on-demand offering by running advertisements on broadcast and cable television. Section B. Before the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002, BCRA, federal law prohibited and still does prohibit corporations and unions from using general treasury funds to make direct contributions to candidates or independent expenditures that expressly advocate the election or defeat of a candidate through any form of media in connection with certain qualified federal elections. BCRA Section 203 amended Section 441B to prohibit any electioneering communication as well. An electioneering communication is defined as any broadcast, cable, or satellite communication that refers to a clearly identified candidate for federal office and is made within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of a general election. The Federal Election Commission's, FEC's, regulations further define an electioneering communication as a communication that is publicly distributed. In the case of a candidate for nomination for president, publicly distributed means that the communication can be received by 50,000 or more persons in a state where a primary election is being held within 30 days. Corporations and unions are barred from using their general treasury funds for express advocacy or electioneering communications. They may establish, however, a separate segregated fund known as a Political Action Committee, or PAC, for these purposes. The monies received by the segregated fund are limited to donations from stockholders and employees of the corporation, or in the case of unions, members of the union. Section C. Citizens United wanted to make Hillary available through video on demand within 30 days of the 2008 primary elections. It feared, however, that both the film and the ads would be covered by Section 441B's ban on corporate-funded independent expenditures, thus subjecting the corporation to civil and criminal penalties under Section 437G. In December 2007, Citizens United sought declaratory and injunctive relief against the FEC. It argued that, 1, Section 441B is unconstitutional as applied to Hillary, and 2, BCRA's disclaimer and disclosure requirements, BCRA Sections 201 and 311, are unconstitutional as applied to Hillary and to the three ads for the movie. The district court denied Citizens United's motion for a preliminary injunction and then granted the FEC's motion for summary judgment. The court held that Section 441B was facially constitutional under McConnell and that Section 441B was constitutional as applied to Hillary because it was susceptible of no other interpretation than to inform the electorate that Senator Clinton is unfit for office, that the United States would be a dangerous place in a President Hillary Clinton world, and that viewers should vote against her. The court also rejected Citizens United's challenge to BCRA's disclaimer and disclosure requirements. It noted that the Supreme Court has written approvingly of disclosure provisions triggered by political speech, even though the speech itself was constitutionally protected under the First Amendment. We noted probable jurisdiction. The case was re-argued in this court after the court asked the parties to file supplemental briefs addressing whether we should overrule either or both Austin and the part of McConnell which addresses the facial validity of 2 U.S. Code Section 441B. Part 2. Before considering whether Austin should be overruled, we address first whether Citizens United's claim that Section 441B cannot be applied to Hillary may be resolved on other, narrower grounds. Section A. Citizens United contends that Section 441B does not cover Hillary as a matter of statutory interpretation because the film does not qualify as an electioneering communication. Citizens United raises this issue for the first time before us, but we consider the issue because it was addressed by the court below. Under the definition of electioneering communication, the video-on-demand showing of Hillary on cable television would have been a cable communication that referred to a clearly identified candidate for federal office and that was made within 30 days of a primary election. Citizens United, however, argues that Hillary was not publicly distributed because a single video-on-demand transmission is sent only to a requesting cable converter box, and each separate transmission in most instances will be seen by just one household, not 50,000 or more persons. This argument ignores the regulation's instruction on how to determine whether a cable transmission can be received by 50,000 or more persons. The regulation provides that the number of people who can receive a cable transmission is determined by the number of cable subscribers in the relevant area. Here, Citizens United wanted to use a cable video on demand system that had 34.5 million subscribers nationwide. Thus, Hillary could have been received by 50,000 persons or more. One Amici brief asks us, alternatively, to construe the condition that the communication can be received by 50,000 or more persons to require a plausible likelihood that the communication will be viewed by 50,000 or more potential voters, as opposed to requiring only that the communication is technologically capable of being seen by that many people. Whether the population and demographic statistics in a proposed viewing area consisted of 50,000 registered voters, but not infants, preteens, or otherwise electorally ineligible recipients, would be a required determination subject to judicial challenge and review in any case where the issue is in doubt. In our view, the statute cannot be saved by limiting the reach of 2 U.S.C. Section 441B through this suggested interpretation. In addition to the costs and burdens of litigation, this result would require a calculation as to the number of people a particular communication is likely to reach, with an inaccurate estimate potentially subjecting the speaker to criminal sanctions. The First Amendment does not permit laws that force speakers to retain campaign finance attorneys, conduct demographic marketing research, or seek declaratory rulings before discussing the most salient political issues of our day. Prolix laws chill speech for the same reason that vague laws chill speech. People of common intelligence must necessarily guess at the law's meaning and differ as to its application. The government may not render a ban on political speech constitutional by carving out a limited exemption through an amorphous regulatory interpretation. We must reject the approach suggested by the Amici. Section 441B covers Hillary. Section B. Citizens United next argues that Section 441B may not be applied to Hillary under the approach taken in WRTL. McConnell decided that 441B2's definition of an electioneering communication was facially constitutional insofar as it restricted speech that was the functional equivalent of express advocacy for or against a specific candidate. WRTL then found an unconstitutional application of Section 441B where the speech was not express advocacy or its functional equivalent. As explained by the Chief Justice's controlling opinion in WRTL, the functional equivalent test is objective. A court should find that a communication is the functional equivalent of express advocacy only if it is susceptible of no reasonable interpretation other than as an appeal to vote for or against a specific candidate. Under this test, Hillary is equivalent to express advocacy. The movie, in essence, is a feature-length negative advertisement that urges viewers to vote against Senator Clinton for president. In light of historical footage, interviews with persons critical of her, and voiceover narration, the film would be understood by most viewers as an extended criticism of Senator Clinton's character and her fitness for the office of the presidency. The narrative may contain more suggestions and arguments than facts, but there is little doubt that the thesis of the film is that she is unfit for the presidency. The movie concentrates on alleged wrongdoing during the Clinton administration, Senator Clinton's qualifications and fitness for office, and policies the commentators predict she would pursue if elected president. It calls Senator Clinton Machiavellian and asks whether she is the most qualified to hit the ground running if elected president. The narrator reminds viewers that Americans have never been keen on dynasties and that a vote for Hillary is a vote to continue 20 years of a Bush or a Clinton in the White House. Citizens United argues that Hillary is just a documentary film that examines certain historical events. We disagree. The movie's consistent emphasis is on the relevance of these events to Senator Clinton's candidacy for president. The narrator begins by asking, "Could Senator Clinton become the first female president in the history of the United States?" And the narrator reiterates the movie's message in his closing line, "Finally, before America decides on our next president, voters should need no reminders of what's at stake, the well-being and prosperity of our nation." As the district court found, there's no reasonable interpretation of Hillary other than as an appeal to vote against Senator Clinton. Under the standard stated in McConnell and further elaborated in WRTL, the film qualifies as the functional equivalent of express advocacy. Section C. Citizens United further contends that Section 441B should be invalidated as applied to movies shown through video on demand, arguing that this delivery system has a lower risk of distorting the political process than do television ads. On what we might call conventional television, advertising spots reach viewers who have chosen a channel or a program for reasons unrelated to the advertising. With video on demand, by contrast, the viewer selects a program after taking a series of affirmative steps, subscribing to cable, navigating through various menus, and selecting the program. While some means of communication may be less effective than others at influencing the public in different contexts, any effort by the judiciary to decide which means of communications are to be preferred for a particular type of message and speaker would raise questions as to the court's own lawful authority. Substantial questions would arise if courts were to begin saying what means of speech should be preferred or disfavored. And in all events, those differentiations might soon prove to be irrelevant or outdated by technologies that are in rapid flux. Courts, too, are bound by the First Amendment. We must decline to draw and then redraw constitutional lines based on the particular media or technology used to disseminate political speech from a particular speaker. It must be noted, moreover, that this undertaking would require substantial litigation over an extended time, all to interpret a law that, beyond doubt, discloses serious First Amendment flaws. The interpretive process itself would create an inevitable, pervasive, and serious risk of chilling protected speech, pending the drawing of fine distinctions that in the end would themselves be questionable. First Amendment standards, however, must give the benefit of any doubt to protecting rather than stifling speech.